Welcome everybody, and greetings to all the visitors who are listening or watching us on the PET portal or elsewhere. This is the special edition of the new section of the PET portal and blog, a not-for-profit Hungarian language portal on the topics of privacy-enhancing technologies. And we are preparing now a discussion with a distinguished guest, especially on the International Data Protection Day, which is the 28th of January 2010. First of all, I would like to introduce the participants of this conversation or discussion. Rolf Wendolski is sitting in Germany, and we have a Skype connection with two web cameras, two microphones, even more microphones, and we do hope that the connection will be good throughout our discussion. Rolf, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Hello.
Hello. May I read a few lines of your CV just to introduce to you to the visitors? You started as an IT security researcher at the University of Regensburg in Germany. Then you became a lead developer of a project, an open source research project aimed to provide strong anonymity for internet users. After the end of the project, together with your friend, you decided to establish a commercial company together with the Technical University of Dresden, the Independent Center for Privacy Protection Schleswig-Holstein. Both places are well known in the European privacy-enhancing technology developing landscape. And you founded your company, which is called the John Doe's, in March 2007. Just for our Hungarian visitors, John Doe is in the Anglo-American culture is the equivalent of the typical anybody, the exact translation of the Hungarian word Gips Jakob. So this is why the company is called John Doe's. And you are still one of the lead developers of the project, which is now called John Donin. And instead of speaking too much about this, I will ask questions about the system you are developing. On my left, this is Gábor Gulyás, who is the founding father of the PET portal and blog, this Hungarian not-for-profit portal. He's a PhD student at the Budapest University of Technology, and his main research focus is around the privacy-enhancing technologies in different areas. On my right, this is Csaba Krasznai, who is an IT specialist. He's also a PhD student at the moment at the National Defense University, and he's representing not only his university and his private expertise, but also internet online magazine or portal called IT Cafe, which is a good partner of the PET portal and blog, and they are dealing not only with technical aspects but also societal aspects of information technology. And myself, I'm Ivan Széke. I'm a social informatist, and I'm dealing with the borderlines of openness and secrecy, data protection and freedom of information, and my role is mostly ceremonial. I will give you the floor, but this will be a very informal discussion anyhow. And before giving the floor to Csaba, I would ask you to summarize in a few sentences what is the essence of the systems you are developing and why is it important?
The solution consists mainly of two parts. The most important part is the anonymization of IP addresses. The IP address is something that users keep quite long. It's something that, like the number plate on the internet, you identify yourself against the internet server with which you are communicating. And you need this address to communicate. On the other hand, if you keep this address typically one day, one week, 1 month, that depends on your internet provider. Then the websites you visit and your provider and advertisement companies, they can see your IP address and they can see that you are again on the sites and on which sites you are. And with the IP address anonymization, it does a generation of a new IP address, which is not yours, but which belongs to many other users. You look like many other users. This is the basic concept, so that you cannot be profiled anymore. Observers won't get a specific profile on you. The second part of the solution is browser-side security, because web browsers also send many data which may be used to identify on the net, maybe not identify in the first place, but they can link communications from you with the same information and then see after a while who you are, or at least that you are the same person, that they use the same computer.
Thank you. Speaking about anonymization, we would like to ask a few questions about this topic. Chaba, please.
Yes, thank you. So we heard that you were working recently on a website that measures anonymity with some kind of new techniques. So you mentioned why anonymity is very important, but how can you measure the size of the anonymity, the level of the anonymity of an internet user?
That's a difficult thing. We are currently not trying to exactly level the anonymity, because the problem is often, if you have anonymity, then nobody can link any information to your actions, and that is in practice very difficult to achieve. That is, you won't have complete anonymity in practice, but more or less pseudonymity. The other thing is that there are currently some mathematics analyzing methods to show how anonymous you are or not, but these all, I think, lack the practice, the internet practice. So you can say, you, on the one hand, if you see this technology and these attacks so and so anonymous, but maybe you forgot other attacks and then you are not anonymous at all.
In practice, what do you suggest for an average user to do for enhancing her privacy? I mean, there must be something beside using IP level anonymizing techniques.
I think that privacy problems, or many privacy problems, will just get solved first by sticking to some simple rules. If you do something on the internet, and if you plan to leave your personal data there, that's a great problem, I think. Maybe you should think twice before leaving your personal data on a website, or leaving your real name on a website, and that is something that many internet users don't do. And if you really need to, maybe you should read the privacy policy of the service provider first before leaving this data, and maybe you compare it with the privacy policy of other providers. He does something bad with my data, or he really tries to protect my data. Another thing that many internet users, I think, do not think of, don't download programs from untrustworthy sources, like maybe cracks for cool games or programs that you then get for free. If you use programs on file sharing networks, most of them will contain viruses, Trojan horses, and some other evil software. And after executing them, you will see they will send your private data to criminals. That's much more a problem than you serve something somewhere and lose your privacy.
Is it possible to get better privacy by adjusting the settings?
Yes, we think it is possible to greatly enhance web browser security. Let me give Firefox as example. One thing you should really install is the NoScript plugin for Firefox. It protects from many attacks that currently happen, many attacks based on JavaScript, based on plugins. They're just fixed or very, very difficult if you use the NoScript extension. On the other hand, our company, it offers a plugin and a plugin collection called JohnnyFox. It is the profile for the Firefox browser, which has very restrictive security settings, but on the other hand is still usable. You can serve the net, you can use most of the sites without problems. But we have done those restrictive settings that are not done by the browser vendor. This is something not so easy for a normal user. So if you have, if you make a manual, hey, how to set your browser so that it's secure, most people, most unexperienced people, and even many IT specialists, they won't be able to make the browser settings so that they should be.
We know that you are running Jundo Fox as a commercial software. And is it feasible to do SEO? Because privacy is something that usually is not funded most of the times, and it's quite hard to get official fundings for it. So in your opinion, is it feasible to run it as a commercial product?
Well, that was a really challenge for us, I would say. When we started in 2007, we planned it in the end of 2006, very few people only believe that you can, with strong anonymity systems, which really make plenty of work, bunch of work, you can make money with that and you can get customers paying for that. We also have almost everything of our software. Let's let away the internal servers we are using only for payment and something like that. It is open source. So it's free software. You cannot buy the software. People only pay for the service for us. Even the Jundo Fox profile for the web browser Firefox is free. It's open source. Anyone can use it. Anyone can change it as he or she would like. On the other hand, we are only a small team. We are not, say, 100 person company. I don't think this could be founded just by such a system. But for us, it is enough that some 10,000, let's say 10,000 users, they buy for the services and they're happy with it, and it would be really enough to fund our complete research and development.
I want to argue with you, because I think anonymity on the internet is unreachable, because if you use bad techniques, if you use this IP anonymizer services, you can hide your IP address. You can use the internet very well, because if you don't leave messages, don't use nicknames, and so on and so on and so on. But on the last week, we've heard some words of Bruce Schneier, who said that the governments have backdoors in many commercial services like Gmail and other such services. So the governments have access for the services of an average internet user. So I think anonymity is unreachable. What do you think about that?
I think you have to look in which areas in which unreachable and which areas it is. Of course, you cannot be completely anonymous. It is, hey, you stay maybe in your home, do nothing, and close the windows and something like that. It would be completely anonymous, okay? But you're a social person, and as a social person, of course, you have to communicate. You have sometimes to give away your identity, but for me, anonymity is something that enables you to make some kind of identity management. You have different groups of people that you know, that with which you exchange information about yourself, but maybe you have other group of people from which the other doesn't know at all. Maybe you're a professional IT geek or something like that, and post on forums and articles and something like that under a pseudonym, and you use another pseudonym or your real name in your family or at your friends, and you are maybe a dancing competitor and something like that, and nobody links these two things together because you don't do it as well.
In January, your government, the German government and the French government, give a good opportunity for Firefox and Opera and other browsers, because they said that Internet Explorer is not secure, so use another kind of browser. But many internet users use Internet Explorer. What is your advice? How can they strengthen their identity protection in Internet Explorer?
If we would be a bigger company, maybe we would have thought of methods to better secure the Internet Explorer. We currently are focused on one browser, on the Firefox, because of limited resources. And if someone asks us, hey, I have the Internet Explorer, how may I serve private with it? How may I have pseudonyms with it and protect my privacy? We would say, maybe it is possible with Internet Explorer or with other browsers, but we don't know it.
Most companies think that identity management is nothing else than a good tool for themselves to manage the identities of the customers or the user.
This is another view.
I think we all are talking about user-centered or customer-centered identity management, and this is nothing else than the very theoretical notion of what we called, on the basis of the original German notion, the so-called informational self-determination. So we don't need to be anonymous if we don't want, but we would like to have some tools in our hands as users to manage our identity on the internet.
I fully agree with you. You have not one identity, you have many identities. Even if you go on a new site, on a new website where you did not go before, you discovered it just at that moment. You can create a new identity for this site, just maybe because you do on this site something else that you did not do any time before. And maybe you would like to protect this identity, only this one. And if there is a technology that enables you to do this, you find that this is good. And yeah, people should get it.
I would like to ask you about a recent initiative that we heard about Privacy Research International. You were talking about this on the last PatCon event, and well, we're quite curious about this. What is it going to be, and what do you expect from this initiative?
Okay, Privacy Research International, it should be a consortium, not for profit, for both researchers and both for industry. Industry in this case is mainly providers of privacy systems, of privacy software, and also developers of privacy software in the research context. It should raise the awareness, the public awareness on the one hand for online privacy technologies, so that we plan to make websites that are also understandable, of course, for a normal user. We could do this together with other people, because privacy is often privacy tools and privacy enhancing technologies are often geek tools still. Maybe let me give an example: email encryption. There are email encryptions available since many, many years, but only a few people use it. And why? Because it's intransparent, because it's not understandable for normal users, and maybe because users do not know where to get it, how to get it, and how to get it work right. And this consortium does one thing. It should bring transparency to the privacy market. It should bring transparency to the users, and it should raise awareness. We'd also like to make standardizations for online tools, for privacy tools, certified technologies, if that's possible, if there's interest in the people of the group who will join the group. They're still, of course, searching for companies and for research institutes joining us. And we would also like to bring these people together.
Can you tell us the nationality of the main researcher of this institute?
Currently, we have some preliminary partners from US and from Germany, but the consortium still has not officially started. We have a charter in a wiki where people can work on. Even you can join, other people who see this video can join the consortium, look what ideas we have, what we are doing, and help us define the charter and to bring this to start.
The usage of these bad techniques is very important in Iran or China, where the internet users are in danger if they have some other opinion than their government.
Honestly, we did not think about anti-censorship, which is what's maybe important for them as well, and for specific countries at the moment. But of course, I see this seems to be a very important part of this research, of this practical research, and maybe we should add to the charter. I would be glad if you just joined us, logged in, and put your idea into that so that, that we can discuss it. I fully agree with you. Free speech is also an important research topic that we can address with PETS technologies. But it's very difficult to finance because if you try to give free speech to people, let's say from Iran and China, they won't be able to pay anything. So you have to get the research money and the development money somewhere else. Maybe such an organization as Privacy Research International could address this on the one hand, that you bring back a lot of people with the same things in mind, privacy, free speech, and generate new ideas about that. On the other hand, we could generate projects from that. We could together go to, let's say, the European Union or to other organizations to which could give public funding for research just when they see, hey, there are competent people there, there are industry groups, there are public researchers working on the same topic, and this will be successful.
Approaching to the end of our discussion, let me ask a question about your personal plans as a developer. What will you focus on in the foreseeable future, let's see, in the next few years as a developer?
We are a really tiny company at the moment, but of course we strive to make some marketing and get big in the next years. But what I can say in shorthand, what we have plans for now is we are enthusiastically developing innovative privacy solutions, especially for web browsing. More focus on web browsing, on web surfing. One thing is a new anonymity test that we designed. It should be a one-click test so that people can see on one view, hey, my browser is securely securely configured, or I have to do something on it. And it differs from the existing tests in maybe in two ways. There are some simple tests that also only show you some HTTP variables that you can easily read, and but they have no real knowledge about privacy attacks on browsers. On the other hand, there are some tests that need that the user click through several pages, maybe click on several pop-ups, and then after the test, they see the results. We make something in the middle, show as many information as possible, but only in one click. And that's one thing we will finish in the next 2 months, I think. Then we focus on browser security in the context of making the browser more secure, of course. The test is, okay, let's see how it, why it is insecure. It's the John Fox profile I just talked about. We would like to port this profile into only one extension, so that we could integrate the security functions of some extensions that we have bundled in the profile into the John Fox, so that people can just download the extension and have it, everything in one place. A cool thing that we are developing is a new form of cookie management that will maybe make this extension interesting not only for users who are using proxies or who would like to use anonymization systems, but just for internet users who would get protected from cookie spying. This cookie management follows recent suggestions for standardizations of cookies, but goes a little beyond those standardizations and those suggestions. We plan management that you don't have to configure at all. Imagine you just surf on the website as usual. All cookies are on, first-party cookies, third-party cookies, and despite that, you cannot be tracked from one web page to another web page. You can only be tracked inside the same web page that you are using at the moment. And even if you use Google, sites like Google, then this cookie management will enable you to open in one browser tab, let's say Google News or Google Mail, in the other browser tab, a Google search, and both actions that you do, they cannot be linked by the cookies.
These are really interesting plans and very ambitious plans, and we wish you all the best in realizing all these plans in the foreseeable future. And let me thank you to all of the participants of this discussion for your time and the discussion itself. You were listening Rolf Wendolsky from Germany, Gábor Gulyás, Csaba Krasznai, and myself, Ivan Székely, from Hungary, from the headquarters of the Open Society Archives in Budapest. And I'm sure that this was only an introductory discussion, and I'm sure we will get back to you personally and to the project you were just mentioning to us, both on the PET portal, the existing Hungarian language PET portal, and we do hope that in the foreseeable future, new form, the International PET Portal, which is expected to be launched later this year. You were listening to the special edition of the news section of the PET Portal on the International Data Protection Day 2010. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for the interview. It was a great thing to be with you. Bye.